Pray as we look at God's word. Father God, thank you so much that you speak into our situation, into our culture, into our thinking. We pray you'd help us tonight to lay good foundations for this series on identity over the coming weeks. Would we have open hearts to hear your word and to trust you and to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think the Spice Girls sang, didn't they? Who do you think I am? Or who do you say I am? That big search for identity. Who do you think you are? Nina is all over Spice Girls. She knows. She's probably one of the Spice Girls. Yes. No, I know you're not. But actually, the reality is the question of identity is a massive thing, a massive question. So as you look in the mirror in the morning and you look into the mirror, who do you see? What do you see? Who are you? Who am I? And there are many ways you could describe yourself, who you are. There's many ways that people could describe you and we could describe other people. But have you ever thought about how God sees you? How God would describe your identity? You see, how he describes us is the most important opinion that matters, that should shape our living, our thinking, our very being. Wherever we're from, our nationality, wherever we live right now, whether we're men or women, boys or girls, married or single, whatever job we do, God sees that in the world there are really just two types of people. God could split the whole of Crowborough into two groups. He could split the whole of this country into two groups. He could split the whole of the world into two groups. And one day he will, on Judgment Day. There are lots of ways we could split each other up tonight. Those who love Twiglets and those who hate them. Who loves them? Who hates them? Very good. Those who love Arsenal. Yeah, a few more tonight in the room. Thank you. And those who hate them. Those who wear their socks to bed. There's no shame in that. And those who do not wear socks to bed. Well, God and his son Jesus Christ describes all sorts of pairings of people in the Gospels. He uses pictures to describe the two groups of people in the world. He talks about sheep and goats, wheat and weeds, wise and foolish, those on the narrow path and those on the wide path, those whose names are in the book of life and those who are not. Only two groups. And our verse of the year points that out for us. It's beautifully done by Barney, these fantastic screens and the wonderful verse of the year card. This talks about two groups of people. Two ways for us to see other people in our lives and in the world. And it talks about this. It talks about the new way of seeing people. The new way. Can you see that? The new is here. There is a new way of seeing people in the world and of seeing ourselves if we're Christians. And there is the old way, which through Christ has gone if we've come to know him. There are those who are living in the new way who are in Christ. That is, they belong to Jesus. They're in his family forever. They are in Christ. Faith union. They are in Christ. And because of that, there are those who are not in Christ, who don't yet belong to Jesus. Those who are not in union, in relationship with Jesus. Look at the verse. It talks about there being the new creation has come. When we trust Christ, we are made new. We are in Christ. And the new creation has come. A new member of God's family. We have an eternal hope in the new heaven. We are made new. We have a new start. We are new creations. And of course, because of that, there's the opposite that's true. There are many who are not in the new creation, who do not belong to Jesus' family, who do not have a home in heaven yet. You see, this verse talks about the two groups, and particularly the group that belong now to Jesus. I wonder, how would you define yourself? Who are you? Who am I? Well, I am a man, a son, a dad, a husband, a father, a vicar, a Welshman born in Luton. I could go on. But by God's grace, I am in Christ. The new has come. The old is gone. I'm in the new creation. I wasn't born a Christian. I became a believer as I grew up in a Christian family. I gave my life to Jesus at the age of 9. And now I am his and he is mine. And my future is secure and safe. And if you're a believer tonight, that's your story. There was an old way of living. But through Christ, the new has come. And that defines who you are, what you think, how you live. That is our identity. If we're Christians tonight, we are in Christ. I am a Christian. And that shapes everything. And you know, that is what we were created to be. To belong to Jesus, to know God as our Father, and to have that sure hope of heaven. And the Lord Jesus comes to give us a brand new start. Maybe tonight you long for a new start. Maybe you're not yet a believer. You long for a new start, a new beginning, a new life. Well, that is what God sent Jesus into the world to bring. And that is for anyone. I met a guy this week who ventured into church for the first time today. He's been walking around the building for several months and not able to walk in. It's a massive thing to walk into church. Do you know that? People feel so unworthy. They feel they don't fit. They feel like actually the reality is that actually their past is so bad that there can be no place for them in the church of God, in the church of Jesus Christ. People feel so unworthy. Well, check out the glory of this verse. It says, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, anybody, it doesn't matter what your past is, what you have done or what you haven't done, God loves you. And he wants you to be in his forever family. Anyone can be in the new creation. Anyone can. That is great news. That is glorious news. Wonderful. And just look what happens in our verse when anyone comes to faith in Jesus. The old has gone and the new has come. The old has gone. All the past forgiven. Buried in the deeper sea, paid for in blood on the cross. My sins now, my sins in the future, forgiven, paid for in blood by the Lord Jesus Christ. The old is gone and the new has come. A new start from Jesus. That's what we all need, isn't it? Maybe we need that today as believers. We feel really condemned and like we failed the Lord. Well, the Lord wants to refresh you tonight with this truth. This is true. The new is here. You're part of his family. You're forgiven and accepted. You're not condemned. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. You are in, kept, secure, held tight by the hand of the Lord. And this verse describes for us in many ways the testimony of the guy who wrote it. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote this verse. It is scripture. This is the Lord's word to us. And we know the Apostle Paul had a very, very murky past. He's the sort of guy who would say, well, actually, I could never be good enough. Do you see what I did? So I went around persecuting the church, locking up Christians. I hated Jesus. And yet one day, the new creation came. Jesus spoke to me and he brought me to himself and he saved me. He helped me to see that he was the Lord and the King and he welcomed the one who hated him. It doesn't get much worse than that, does it? That's why this is great news. Anyone. The gospel for anyone. Don't put anybody in your life outside the reach of Jesus. Anyone. Anyone. What a joy. Paul was given a brand new start. He could say, I'm a new creation. I am forgiven. I'm accepted. I'm changed. The old is gone. The new has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the fact that Paul has been changed means that he sees everything differently now. He sees everyone else differently now. The new start, the new beginning, is for anyone. Jesus didn't just die for God's people, the Jews, that's the context here, but he died for Jew and Gentile, all types of people, to reconcile them to God. You see, when you belong to Jesus, when you give your life to Christ, that defines who you are. That defines who you are. And in the verses surrounding this verse for the year, we get three little applications and pictures from Paul to help us to think about what it means to be those whose identity is in Christ and how that changes everything. So have a look back at verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Paul tells us that this new identity means he's got a new love that compels him. This first five words. For Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all sorts of people. You see, the love of Christ is like the catapult, the thing that propels Paul in his Christian life to love others and to share Jesus with others. The love of Jesus shapes the way he lives, shapes what he does, who he reaches out with. It throws him forward. It compels him. It drives him. Wouldn't it be great if 2018 was a year where the love of Jesus who died for us compels us, drives us forward? This morning I catapulted Love Hearts into the congregation, and I'm going to do it right now. I just feel I've got to do it. Here we go. I wasn't going to, but I just feel like I might. And actually, see if I can injure other people this morning. So here we are, the love of Christ, lots of lovely chocolate hearts. And if you get one, you are triply blessed tonight. Here we go. Here we go. Ready? Where's some? Let's try and get in the corner over there and avoid the screen. Oops. Here we go. Ready? Oh, I think Graham got one in the balcony. Did you get one? Hey! The love of Christ compels us. It catapults us to love others and see others as Jesus sees them. When your identity is in Christ, it's his love that shapes the way you live and how you think and what you do. A new way of loving. A new way to love. Let me shove that up on here. Also, we see from Paul a new way to live. A new way to live. So have a little look again at verse 15. Verse 15 of chapter 5. And he died for all, that's Jesus, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. This new start, this new identity means that we do not live for ourselves, but for Jesus. Jesus is our Saviour, and he is our Lord, our boss, our King. And actually, he defines who we are. He defines how we live. He defines how we think, because he knows what's best for us. He is the Creator. He is the Word that created all things. And following Jesus changes everything. It shapes how we see ourselves. Our identity is belonging now to Jesus. And it means that we trust and obey what he says in the Bible, even if it goes against the culture. You see, the world says, doesn't it, right now, you can be whoever you feel you want to be. You can be whoever you want to feel you want to be. So whatever your decision about your gender or your sexuality, all those big issues we're facing at the moment in our culture, the world says, be what you feel you want to be. But the Bible says, no. Be who God has made you to be. Your identity is in Christ. That defines you. That shapes the way that you live. That shapes the way that you think. Kevin DeYoung, in his book, The Hole in Our Holiness, says this. God doesn't say, relax, you were born this way. But he does say, good news, you are reborn another way. A new start, a new way of living, a new way of thinking, that God by his grace helps us to live, however painful that is for us. And we'll come back and tackle those issues in the coming weeks as we consider identity and how important that is in who we see ourselves as and as we engage with our culture and our church. So, a new way to love, a new way to live, and finally, kind of coming back round again, a new way to see other people. Have a look at verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Paul would have seen people as being Jew or Gentile. And we might categorize people in all sorts of ways. But actually, Paul says, no, since I've come to know Christ, my identity is in him, and I will see people as Jesus sees them. The new way of living in Christ, and those who are not yet following Christ, the old way of living. I will see people as those who need to come to know Jesus. There are just two groups of people. The worldly way of thinking is saying that everyone's the same, or we're all different for different sorts of reasons, but actually God sees us in one of two ways. Those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ yet. Don't we need to pray that we will see people in one of two ways this week, this year, as at work, at school, in our families? And don't we need to pray that, Lord Jesus, you give me the grace and strength to lead other people to your new way, which is freedom and peace and joy and life? This is a great verse for us this year. It speaks of the new start, the new beginning, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the joy of new life in Christ for anyone. If anyone is in Christ, is a believer, the new creation has come. A new start, a new beginning that goes on and lasts forever and ever. The old is gone, forgiven and forgotten. The new is here to stay. Will we pray that this new beginning, if we're believers tonight, will actually shape the way that we love, the way we live, the way we see others? And maybe you're not yet a believer. Maybe it'd be great for you to come to Life Explored on Tuesday night and find out more. Let me pray for us. Loving Father, thank you so much for this fantastic verse. The hope it gives us, the joy it gives us, the wonderful testimony to what you do in our lives by your grace. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for a new start, a new life, forgiven and loved and kept forever. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be shaped by your love, shaped by your words, and shaped by the way you see people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.